When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Yes, there you are, lovely listeners. Hello, how you doing? Oh, what's going on? Something's going on with my telephone. It's buzzing, and I can't have that because I'm talking to you. Bluetooth is on as well, which is always annoying. Why is Bluetooth always on? It turns itself back on, which is a full-time drain for your battery. Why would you invent something like the iPhone, which is what I'm holding in my hand, that has so little capacity for battery, and then invent a function called Bluetooth which drains the battery on the off chance you might want to connect to a speaker? I don't want to connect to a speaker. Listen to me, listeners, prattling on. I'm supposed to bring joy and lightness to your day. Well, let me do all of that and more, because today we've got the wonderful Dr. Ranj on the show. He is the star of Strictly. As you know, I think he went out in the sixth round. He was brilliant. He's the doctor on This Morning. He's an author. He is an activist. And he's a tele doctor, among many other things. He's got a new book out. It's called Brain Power, a toolkit to understand and train your unique brain. It's a guide for keeping minds and brains healthy and happy. But really what it's about is neurodiversity, actually, which is things like autism and dyslexia and beyond. And him talking about how those are amazing things, not things that should be deemed problems. And it's very typically Ranj. He is a wonderful, warm-hearted, brilliant human. And I'm so excited about talking to him. I've got lots of questions from you lot to take to him about LGBTQ plus healthcare, and he is going to solve all of our problems. They'll all be solved by the end, which is great. Let's kick the year off as we mean to go on, will I say. Anyone bored of January yet? I am. Now then, let's do a little bit of Homo sapiens Dao's admin before we begin. Have you listened to our episode with the mega star Hayley Kiyoko? If you haven't, go back to the feed, have a listen to part one, have a listen to part two. She is great. I had such a laugh with her. And she got the book, which I posted her, by the way, the HSP book. So now we were kidding on Instagram because now neither of us have read it. But, you know, we'll get there. Our email is hello@homosapienspodcast.com. Or you can get in touch on Instagram @homosapiens. Love you all messaging. It's kind, it's wonderful, it's fun. And we are a community. We are a family. That's what it's all about. I just looked down and thought I hadn't pressed record. And I thought, that would be a shame, but I have. I've pressed record. This is recording. You can hear me. Finally, there are tickets still left for our first ever live episode of Homo Sapiens at King's Place in London on the 14th of February, aka Valentine's Day. Bring a date is all I'm going to say. I'll be getting on stage with the delightful Deborah Frances White of The Guilty Feminist fame. We're doing a crossover episode. It's called The Guilty Homo Sapien. We're going to be sharing all the dark and sordid secrets about being LGBTQ plus, where we feel we're failing as LGBTQ plus people. Yeah, it's going to be really funny. Deborah's amazing and I'm okay. So it's going to be great. And if you want to get involved, you got to go to the link in the bio, in the episode description, I mean, or you can find it in our link tree on our Instagram bio. Go, go, go is what it says here. And I'm inclined to agree. First things first, bit of email. Hi, Chris. This is the first email. I also realise that I often don't make it very clear when I'm slipping out of the email into me talking, and sometimes that's confusing. So watch me, for one episode only probably, be a bit better at that. Hi, Chris. That's the writer. The birds that you remarked on today's podcast were jackdaws, which can be especially vocal when heading to roost in the evening or when waking in the morning. They are certainly no less likely to vocalise in winter, and no birds in Europe hibernate, by the way. What? No birds in Europe hibernate. This is brilliant. This is me talking now. This is an amazing. Thank you so much. I cannot tell you that exchanging emails about birdsong is part of my life. Makes me so happy. So thank you so much. So much for writing that in from an anonymous listener. Anything you ever want to write in, by the way, if anyone wants it to be anonymous, just say and we don't read it out. And we don't read the name out. We read the message, obviously. Next up. Wasn't actually hitting the keys in the first bit because I didn't want to move the page down, but then it felt inauthentic. Hello. Love the podcast and catching up with recent episodes. I thought the Dry January episodes with Tony Hogg were very interesting. I've never done Dry January, but the stress of the pandemic has made me unable to drink more than half a pint of beer before I get sick. As a result, I have half a drink every 2 weeks or so. This person writing in, doing a lot better than I am. I have extremely mixed feelings about this. I'm only partially out as bisexual at age 33. And while I've done years and years of therapy, cutting through the internalized shame of trying to date in a fat AFAB body, AFAB meaning assigned female at birth, in a fat assigned female at birth body is always overwhelming in the moment of being with other people. I'm going to say this is anonymous because I don't know. When they say they're partially out, I think I'm just going to make it that it's anonymous. But they haven't actually asked to be, so I apologize to this person if they wanted their name to be read out. But what I will say is, I hear you. I don't have problems with making new friends or having fun with old friends sober, but alcohol feels like a tool to slide past the hang-ups about my body and sexuality that I can't reason myself out of and set some new patterns. Knowing that alcohol isn't really available to me at this point makes me feel like there's not much point in going out, even when it's safe to do so. And I assume safe means COVID-wise. Because I'm naturally very physically closed off to the people around me. Sometimes physical health doesn't feel very compatible with exploring how I relate to other queer people as more than internet chat buddies. Best person's name. Well, that's really interesting. You know, you said there that I've never done Dry January. The stress of the pandemic has made me unable to drink more than half a pint of beer. Well, we've all got to listen to our bodies. And if it's not making you feel well, I'm so thrilled that you are listening to your body and not, and I understand that's coming with challenges as a result. But I do think that's the essential first step. You've got to do, we've all got to do that. And I think we're actually trained not to. So that you're doing that is great. And I think that you're absolutely right. Like, alcohol totally does enable us to do certain things that we don't feel we can anyway. And that isn't always bad. I have Alan coming in my ear here because I'm always very earnest and he's like, sometimes it's great. But you know what? I wouldn't be so hard on yourself. I would say you will meet people on those internet chat buddies who you feel so comfortable with, you could take it to the next step. And I think even reading your email, you just sound like the most lovely person. So it's a pandemic. Let's all remember it's a global pandemic. It's fucked with loads of us and things are starting to improve for some, not everywhere in the world, but time and patience. I think this is going to lift for you and I wish you all the best. And I don't have a crystal ball. I did ask for one for Christmas, but I feel like we all need to remember to respect our bodies like you are. You're a lesson to us all and I really hope it does improve. And thank you so much for sharing what is a very interesting, unique perspective. Now, if this wasn't the right time to segue over to a lovely chat with Dr. Range, then I don't know what is, because Dr. Range is going to soothe us all with his wonderful dulcet tones. He's an activist. He's a writer. He's written lots of brilliant books. He is ITV This Morning's doctor. Let's go and have a chat with the wonderful Dr. Range. You exude togetherness.
Do you think?
You do.
I think people assume that doctors should exude some sort of control or authority, and I am probably none of those things. I'm just kind of making it up as I go along, much like everyone else. Not the medical stuff. Let's just make that clear. I meant in life in general.
You've just been freestyling all these years. Seems like a cold, I reckon.
Isn't that why Google was invented?
Yeah. Is it a responsibility being perceived as such a, you know, together person? Like, for example, Ray, our lovely producer, just called you Dr. Range instead of Range, which I just think is amazing. And we've actually, in prior to this, only been referring to you as Dr. Range, because it's kind of like you're this mythical, responsible creature.
It's like a brand, isn't it? It's like a brand name. Like Cher or Kylie.
Oh my God, yes.
Or Madonna, I wish. I think the doctor label, as it were, the doctor title does imply that you've got your stuff together.
Mm.
Because everyone goes to you for help.
So you are
there to sort everybody out, be it, you know, a health problem or whatever it might be. And I've kind of gotten used to that a little bit, but then I've never bought into the kind of, therefore that means that I'm some sort of person who knows it all, or I'm the person who kind of gets everything and knows the answer. And certainly, you know, I'm learning just as much as anybody else all the time.
Did you ever read that book by the surgeon Henry Marsh about being a brain surgeon?
Yes, I did. I didn't read the whole thing, but I remember I read a few snippets of it when I was writing my first book. And I remember that was one of the ones that was using as a point of reference, just to kind of see how other people were doing it.
He spoke about, I'm pretty sure this is right, this is where I'm getting it completely wrong, but about how you kind of involved as a doctor in this kind of complicit lie that you have to pretend that you know everything in order to make that person feel better in some respects.
One of my friends, really good friends from medical school, said it really, he hit it on the head when he said, if you say anything with enough confidence, people will believe you.
Yes. Do you think that's actually what being an adult is?
Yeah. I mean, any job. I mean, when you look at the shitstorm that is our government right now, you know, or any kind of powers that be around the world, you know, people say things with enough confidence that people genuinely believe them and think that they must be right.
And you don't have time to investigate the background. So you're like, well, if they said it, I might as well. I mean, it's kind of got people a long way. It's got people like Boris Johnson a long way. Sort of this way, you know?
Yes.
And everyone is looking for direction or something.
I try not to do that. I do sometimes have to check myself and say, are you just saying that because you think you know, or are you just saying that because you actually do know? And I think the older I've gotten, the more experienced I've got, the more I've checked myself. Because it's interesting, isn't it? When you're young, you think you know it all. And when you kind of get to my age, you realise how much you don't know. And you think, I'm just going to have to be careful what I say or how I say it. Especially if you're on any sort of platform, let's say. You just have to be responsible.
Do you also think there's something in there about, like, when you don't know it all, when you're younger, you think you have to appear to, because you imagine there's other people who do. But when you get a bit older, you're like, oh, no one knows. I might as well be honest.
Yeah, possibly. There's that really famous graph, isn't there, about knowing stuff and experience and how, like, and age. And like when you're really young, you think you know it all. And then you go through that sort of phase where actually you're beginning to realise that you don't know it all. And then you come to some sort of middle ground where,
really?
You know, you come to middle ground where you actually, as you go on, you do tend to learn more and you kind of work it out a bit more. And, you know, some of it has got backup to it. But I thought, what's it called? Is it this something Dunning curve? Miles Dunning curve? I'll have to look it up.
It's a dumbing.
No.
We'll look it up. We'll post it. Listeners, we'll post it. It's the Range dumbing
curve. Range dumbing curve, yeah.
Simply Google it. And when you're talking about having to, you know, make sure you don't come across with all the answers when you have a platform like you do, which is massive, how do you balance how do you divide your life is what I'm trying to say, because you obviously do the TV stuff, but then during COVID you went back into the wards, right?
So I never left the wards, actually. I think people kind of see me on telly and assume that that's all I do, for instance. And I have to remind people that actually I still do the day job. I work part time. And then during COVID, obviously I stepped that up because it was important to, and everything else quietened down. So I had the time to. But I do have this sort of juggling act where I kind of try to balance all my various roles. And, you know, and the reason I do that, even though it's really, really hard work and I probably in totality do more hours than I've ever done in my life, it just feels a lot more enjoyable in a weird way, even though I'm working, I think, harder than I ever have, because I used to work full time as a doctor and do nothing else.
Yeah.
And that felt like more of a slog, I think, and more of a drain than me currently doing, I don't know, three jobs or whatever it is and kind of juggling them around. And I don't have office hours. You know, I work late into the night like a lot of people do, especially over the course of the last 2 years when we're all at home and office rules don't really apply quite as much. But yeah, I've always kind of, I enjoy the juggling act. I like it. I like the variety.
And I imagine they all feed each other in many ways.
Yeah, absolutely. My drive for everything comes from my day job. You know, my passion for TV stuff or whatever it might be.
And do people lose their mind when they see you in a hospital and go, oh my God, it's you. I thought you lived on the telly.
No, not really. I mean, I work with kids and young people, so they're usually fairly honest about stuff like that. And it's their parents that sometimes get a little bit inappropriate, but it's all fun. It's never
like
bad.
Trying to take a photo of you while you're doing like a consultation.
Well, even worse than that, trying to take a photo of their child on a life support machine with me. And I was like, that's really not appropriate. I don't think this is the right moment to be doing that sort of thing. I get it. You know, you're in that weird environment as a parent and all rules go out the window. This is not your comfort zone. This is not the real world. So you kind of latch onto any kind of, I don't know, normality or something that you can peg onto. But if in that moment I am able to bring people a little bit of normality or, dare I say, positivity in some way, shape or form, then I'm more than happy to do that. Because I think those moments are really, really important, especially when you're in crisis and when you're struggling and everything's quite overwhelming. And it often is in the environment that I work in for people who aren't used to it.
Which is paediatric emergency
medicine. Yeah, so I work in children's A&E, paediatric and emergency department. Wow. And sometimes also I do a bit of children's intensive care, just occasionally. So they're stressful environments. They are intense environments and they are scary environments. So anything that kind of, I don't know, makes things a little bit more normal, I think is sometimes quite important to have that. As silly as it might seem.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
What made you specialise in that area? Because I can't think of a more intense place to work.
Well, there are lots. I'm sure there are far more intense places to work. And you speak to doctors from different specialities, and I'm sure they'll tell you the same.
Yeah, and also it's not, I shouldn't make out like it's a competition.
No, it's not, but paediatrics is the best. Just going to say that. what took me that way? Do you know what? I never envisaged myself being a paediatrician at all. I remember when I was in med school, I kind of enjoyed it. Like I did a little placement. I had a really good time. And I thought this is just too clever for me. So I wanted to be a GP when I left medical school. And it's only when I I didn't get onto a training program that I took some time out and started redecorating my parents' house. And then I went for a pediatric interview and managed to land the job somehow, thinking, do you know what? If I get this job, it's useful for being a general practitioner anyway. So this is not going to count against me or work against me. And then it was at a time in my life, I think, when I was feeling a little bit lost anyway and thinking, do I really want to do medicine? Is this really for me? Or have I underestimated what this involves and it's not giving me what I wanted? So anyway, I was very much in that frame of mind, got this job, my first paediatric job down in Kingston, Southwest London, Surrey.
I know Kingston Hospital.
Kingston Hospital pulled me back in.
Really?
At a time when I was actually probably ready to leave medicine, I think.
Why was that?
I naively, I think, grew up having this sort of rose-tinted view of what being a doctor was. And I did 1 year of it as a junior doctor, my first year in hospital. And it was like a baptism of fire. It really was. And it was really hard. And I remember thinking during that time, this isn't what I wanted to get out of this career. This isn't, I'm not getting what I need. I'm not getting the sense that I'm making a difference. I wasn't really, because partly because at that sort of level of experience, there's only so much you can do because you're so junior. But at the same time, it wasn't the kind of medicine that I wanted to practice. It really wasn't. You know, there was so many things that I was noticing about our health service that weren't great. And I was like, this is not what I wanted to do. So that's when I kind of took a step back and, you know, ended up wallpapering and plastering and stuff for a bit. And then you know, thought I better apply for a job anyway. It was supposed to be taken 6 months out, and then it ended up being a month in the end. And found this completely, it wasn't really completely new, but this new type of medicine that completely suited me down to a T, and it pulled me back in. Wow. It saved me in many ways, kept me in.
How do you identify as a?
I identify as a queer person of colour.
Right.
Yeah, I've toyed with various labels the years, because this is the thing about labels, is I feel like sometimes they're a little bit reductive.
Yeah.
And when you feel like no label fits, and then it was only relatively recently, especially growing up with the connotations around the word queer and how it was been used negatively and, you know, pejoratively in a discriminatory way for so long, especially when I was growing up, the word has been reclaimed and it now fits. So I quite like the word queer. Yes. And it also gives me a sense of freedom in a weird way. Is I don't know if that makes sense. Like if I sometimes I say gay for simplicity, just because people get it. Being able to use the word queer makes me feel like I have a slight freedom to make it what I want it to be, depending on how I feel.
Yeah, it's really funny you say that, though, because I do feel like I use the word queer all the time. But if I'm around like my mum and that generation, I feel like they think I'm being really activist-y if I say that. And I think
it is a bit, isn't it?
But people do write into this podcast and say, you know, I think that your use of the word queer is bad. You know, and so I always am a bit like, who am I offending when I say it? But it's you know, it's an evolving discussion. Even when we started this podcast in 2017, it wasn't really being used. But it feels like it's perhaps part of the, you know, the evolution of, we're not having to identify as gay men. You know what I mean? We're not having to identify as just bi men. It's more nuanced than that. And I
agree. And I feel like the boxes we've used before were for other people to be able to identify us. I felt like they were too simple. They were far too simple. I come from a culture that is so nuanced and, you know, has recognized a third gender for thousands of years. So I don't like boxes and labels, because I feel like it makes us think we can only be a certain way. And I feel like the evolution and revolution of the LGBTQ plus community, and the fact that young people are adopting these labels because they haven't had that negative experience and they've reclaimed, for example, the word queer, I think it's quite progressive in a way.
And it's funny you say that about the third gender thing. I think it's oft, look at me using a Shakespearean word. It's often overlooked or not remembered that, you know, like Asian culture is so progressive in that respect. And I remember you saying about, you know, it's a culture that reveres transgender people.
It invented
the Kama Sutra.
Exactly. There are so many. I mean, Asian culture is massive, as you know. It's so rich and diverse in itself. But we can say the same about a lot of cultures around the world and around the globe. And they were thriving and had these very, very, what we now call progressive ideas and ideals and ways of living. And it was through certain points in history, for example, through colonialism, that things were changed and people were told and made to be a certain way. So, you know, colonial era anti-LGBT plus laws in India, for example, that's where they came from. And undoing some of that, and especially in places like Africa as well, and you know, undoing some of that hangover is really hard. Mm-hmm. It's really, really hard. And it's interesting, like I come from this hugely diverse culture, but in a weird way right now my culture is actually still catching up to what the Western world is doing, even though at one point it feels like it was leading the way. Yeah, it's important not to forget that.
You know, do a lot of people, young Asian kids, message you and need your help? And do you feel like you're a big role model? And what's that like?
I always find role models interesting because I never had any when I was growing up. Because I never saw anyone that looked like me, I think, in a position of sort of privilege, as it were. So I use that term very respectfully, because I think that when it comes to being identified as a role model, like it mustn't feel like you can't fail, because it feels like a huge responsibility and pressure. But I recognize they're really, really important. I do get people, and it's not just young people of color or Asian people. It's across the age spectrum, actually. People that have shared a similar experience to what I had, because I came out later in life. I came out when I was 30. And also younger Asian people who are like really kindly saying things like, I'm so glad you're here. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad that you're around. And parents of young Asian kids saying, I'm so glad that you're visible. Mm-hmm. And my little ones can look up and see you. And see themselves potentially, and also see potential. That's what I want them to see. I don't want them necessarily to be like, oh, well, Dr. Ange is a big old gay. I want to be a big old gayer as well. I want them to see me and say, do you know what? I can do stuff.
Yeah.
I can do some of that. Like, I'm not saying I've done a lot, but I'm just saying that I want them to see potential. And possibility.
Yeah, and potential to be whatever version of yourself.
Yes, yes.
That's yours, but in spite of...
Freedom and permission. To be... That's exactly... Absolutely. I think you've hit the nail on the head there, Chris. It's permission. I want them to see possibility and permission. And that, if people call me a role model for that, then I'm proud. I'd be proud to take that title.
And have you felt like you have been, what's the word? I want to say kicking shit uphill, but I'm trying to think of something more more poetic.
Pushing a boulder up a hill.
Yeah, let's say that.
Wading through treacle.
In the presence of a doctor here. Do you feel like it's been harder? You wear it so lightly. I wonder whether that is accurate.
Yes, it is an uphill struggle. You're right. Absolutely. But I feel like, as I'm going to use the term generally now, as queer people, society trains us to be strong. It doesn't train us. It pushes us to be strong. Let's say that. Society doesn't train us. We train ourselves and we train each other. But we are pushed to be strong. And that can work in two ways. And sadly, some people will falter because of that pressure, and others will learn to thrive. And there's a reason why, you know, our community is so bloody fantastic and does so many amazing things, because we're pushed to do it. you know, throughout history, there have been so many queer people who have done incredible things, superhuman things, and contributed to culture and history and society and life as we know it. And it's only because they were pushed to have to be better than everybody expected. And that's been our blessing and our curse, hasn't it? And I feel like if add any other sort of consideration to that, for example, people of colour or disability or being transgender or even just being female, like, you know, add any other pressure on top of that, it just becomes the incline gets steeper, isn't it? But yet we soldier on. We do this.
Yes. And it feels like it's our job to support each other, I suppose.
Totally. I was really lucky once. I got an award, an Attitude Award for television in 2018 it was. And I remember being up on stage and you have to give a speech and stuff like that. It's lovely. It's really nice. You know, I know sometimes patting ourselves on the back is inherently problematic, but if we're not if the same people just keep being recognized over and over again, yeah, but hey, let me have this one. I remember when I first came out, thinking of Attitude as like, I write for Attitude magazine as one of their columnists, but that was to me one of the pinnacles of LGBTQ plus life. And I always remember seeing the awards and thinking, God, wouldn't that be really, really cool? Anyway, it happened this year. And I was very conscious of saying that, you know what, you know, there's that phrase that I stand on the shoulders of giants.
Yes.
And there have been so many people before us that have allowed me to do and helped me to do what I do. And I've also borrowed the wings of angels. You know, these are awesome people who have struggled infinitely more than I will or have, but have meant that I can now be who I am. And it's right. We do that because we do it for each other.
Yeah.
We pass it forward. We pay it forward.
Pausing there. I'm going to call it I'm in love with Dr. Ranj. Not in that sense, but, you know, it's a crush. He's wonderful. Go find part two. It's on the feed.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Powered by Spirit Studios.